नमः विष्णुपराय कृष्णा प्रस्ताय श्रीमाति भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचार विशेष शून्य वारी पश्चाच देश So we're going to continue with our study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're on the 15th chapter, and I think we may finish today in the reading. I'm reading the 15th chapter. Well, I'm going very quickly through the other. Okay, so the Pagunda Lila of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda all right. Let's see more light from here. Yeah. Let me get some more light on the other side so we're more balanced. Okay. Alrighty. I think that'll be better. Okay, so beginning with text 29 and the 15th chapter of the Adi Lila. Purva Siddha Bhava Dunhara Udaya Kahila Daive Vanamali Gataka Shachi Stane Hoila. The Lord and Lakshmi Devi met, their relationship awakened, having already been settled, and coincidentally, the marriage maker, Manamali, he received Satchimata. Manamali got to go resident in Navadvipa, a Brahmana by caste, arranged the marriage. The Lord and Lakshmi Devi was formerly the speaker, who negotiated the marriage of Lord Ramchandra, and later he was the Brahmin. We read this. Negotiated the marriage of Lord Krishna with Rukmini. The same Brahmana acted as the marriage maker of the Lord Chaitanya Lila. We read all this. Maybe I read it. Actually, we finished that. It's fading voice. Let me just check. Check one thing. Yeah, there's background noise. They're actually doing things in the background that are very disturbing. Hold on one second. We'll have to get closer to the computer. Let's see. Check one thing. Yeah. Sorry about that. Let's go ahead. Actually, this. Yeah, we're in the wrong chapter. That's why. Somehow or other, I'm on the wrong chapter. Give me a second, and we'll get to the right chapter. Uh, Okay. We're actually on the 16th chapter. I made a mistake. Went to the 15th by mistake. All right. Let's go back. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Someone was just making noise. All right, let's go back to the sharing of the screen. Sorry for that delay. Sometimes when we're traveling, things get a little unusual because we can't control the environment. Give me 1 second. Can you all hear me now? Someone send a message. Yes, no. Okay. You have to put up with the noise in the background because they're cleaning the temple here. And it's a problem. Okay, so we're going to speak closer to the computer. So, anyway, we're talking about Digby Jai. Enakale digvijay tahani aila gangare vandama kari prabhure milila. Coincidentally, Keshava Kashmiri Pandit came there. While offering his prayers to Mother Ganges, he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vishayatare prabhu adara kariya. Digvijay kahi mane avagya kariha. The Lord received him with adoration, but because Keshava Kashmiri was very proud, he talked to the Lord very inconsiderately. Vyakarana padaha nimani pandita tomara nama balya shastre loka tomara kahi guna grama. I understand that you are a teacher of grammar, he said, and that your name is Nimai Pandit. People speak very highly of your teaching of beginner's grammar. So he's being very sarcastic here. Now remember this, Keshava Kashmiri, as described in the previous verses that we read yesterday, he's a conquering pundit from Kashmir. And he goes all over challenging people to debates. And when he wins the debate, and he always wins, because he is a worshiper of Mother Saraswati. He's like the son of Saraswati. So no one can defeat him. So he's being very sarcastic, and he says to Lord Chaitanya, people speak very highly of your teaching, beginner's grammar. So formerly, Sanskrit schools first taught grammar very thoroughly, and the system continues even now. Student was supposed to study grammar carefully for 12 years in the beginning of his life because one is expert in the grammar of the Sanskrit language, all the shastras are open to him. We read that before. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was famous for teaching grammar to students, and therefore Keshava Kashmiri first referred to his position as a teacher of grammar. Keshava Kashmiri was very proud of his literary career. He was far above the first lessons of grammar, and so he thought the position of Nimai Pandit not at all comparable to his own. Yakaranama jay jane padaha kalapa shunilun hongite tomara shishera sanlapa. I understand that you teach kalapa vyakarana. I've heard that your students are very expert in the word jugglery of this grammar. There are many schools of grammar in the Sanskrit language, the most famous of which are the systems of Panini and the Kalapa and Komuti grammars. There were different branches of grammatical knowledge, and a student of grammar was supposed to study them all in 12 years. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was famous as Nimai Pandit, taught grammar to his students, who became expert in dealing with the word jugglery of complicated grammar. Almost anyone expert in studying grammar interprets the shastras in many ways by changing the root meanings of their words. A student of grammar can sometimes completely change the meaning of a sentence by juggling grammatical rules. Keshava Kashmiri indirectly taunted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, implying that although he was a great teacher of grammar, such grammatical jugglery of root meanings did not require great expertise. This was a challenge to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it was prearranged that Keshava Kashmiri would have to discuss the shastras with Nimai Pandit. From the very beginning, he wanted to bluff the Lord. Thus the Lord replied as follows. Prabhu kahe vyakarana padai abhimana kari shishyeti navujayami ujhaite nare. The Lord said, yes, I am known as a teacher of grammar, but factually, I cannot impress my students with grammatical knowledge, nor can they understand me very well. So since Keshava Kashmiri was a little puffed up, the Lord increased his artificial pride by presenting himself as subordinate to him. Thus the Lord flattered him as follows. Kahantumi sarvashastre kavitve pravina kahanami shave shishu patuya navina. My dear sir, whereas you are a very learned scholar in all sorts of scriptures and are very much experienced in composing poetry, I am only a boy, a new student, and nothing more. Tovara kavit kavitva kichu shunite hayamana kripakari karayadi kangara varnana. Therefore, I desire to hear your skill in composing poetry. We could hear this if you would mercifully describe the glory of Mother Ganges. Shunya brahmana garve vanite lagila gati eka eke shata shloka gangara varnila. When the brahmana Keshava Kashmiri, heard this, he became still more puffed up, and within 1 hour he composed 100 verses describing Mother Ganges. Shunya karila prabhu bahuta satkara Toma sama prativite kavinahi hara. The Lord praised him, saying, sir, there's no greater poet than you in the entire world. So you see with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's just like buttering him up for the kill. You know, sometimes you've got to really blow up a balloon before you explode it. Tomara kavita shloka ushite kara shakti Tumi bala janarta kimba saraswati. Your poetry is so difficult that no one can understand it but you and Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. Replying to Keshava Kashmiri sarcastically, Lord Chaitanya indirectly minimized the value of his poetry by saying, yes, your compositions are so nice that no one but you and your worshipable mother, the goddess of learning, can understand them. Keshava Kashmiri was a favorite devotee of Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the pastor of the goddess of learning, has the right to speak sarcastically of her devotees. In other words, although Keshava Kashmiri was proud to be favored by the goddess of learning, he did not know that she is controlled by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, because he is the supreme personality of Godhead. Okay, he's in for a surprise. Eka shloke rarta yari kara nija muke shuni saba loka tabe poiva parasuke. Oops. But if you explain the meaning of one verse, we can all hear it from your own mouth. You must be very happy. Tabe digvijay vyakyara shloka chila Shata shloke rahi kashloka prabhu ta padila. The Digvijaya Keshava Kashmiri inquired which verse he explained. The Lord then recited one of the 100 verses Keshava Kashmiri composed. In other words, he had memorized all the 100 verses. Because he's God, and as Krishna describes in Gita. Matat Smritir Gyanama Pavanam Cha. From him comes remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. So Krishna's, well, everyone's doing what everyone's thinking. What will happen in the future? What happened in the past? He's omniscient. Okay. Mahatvam Gangaya Satatam Idam Abhati Nitaram Yesha Tri Vishnos Charana Kamalot Pati Subhaka Tritiya Sri Lakshmiri Vasura Narayaracha Charana Bhavana Vartuya Shirasi Bhatya Bhutta Kuna. Here's the verse. The greatness of Mother Ganges always brilliantly exists. She is the most fortunate because she emanated from the lotus feet of Sri Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. She is the second goddess of fortune, and therefore she is always worshipped both by the demigods and by humanity. Endowed with all wonderful qualities, she flourishes on the head of Lord Shiva. So, Eish Lokera Arthakara, Prabhu Yadi Boila, Kismita Hana Digvijayi Prabhore Uchila. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to explain the meaning of this verse, the champion, very much astonished, inquired from him as follows. Janja Kalta Praya Amishloka Padila Taramaje Shloka Tumi Kaiche Kante Koila. I recited all the verses like the blowing wind. How could you completely learn by heart even one among those verses? Kahe devera vare tumi kha aiche devera vare keo hoya shuti dara. The Lord replied, by the grace of the Lord, someone may become a great poet, and similarly, by his grace, someone else may become a great shuti dara who could memorize anything easily. This connection, shuti dara is a very important word. Shuti means hearing, and dara means one who can capture. Formerly, before the beginning of Kali Yuga, almost everyone, especially among the intelligent men, the brahmanas, was the shruti dara. As soon as a student heard any of the Vedic wisdom from his master, he would remember it forever. There was no need to refer to books, and therefore, there were no written books in those days. Spiritual master delivered the Vedic hymns and their explanations to the student, who then would remember them forever without consulting books. Become a shruti dara, one who can remember simply by hearing, is a great achievement for a student. The Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, text 41. The Lord says, Yad yad vibhuti mat satvam srimad urjitam evava tad tariva vagachatvam mate jom shasambhavam. Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. As soon as we find anything extraordinary, we should understand that such an extraordinary manifestation is the special grace of the Supreme Person. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to the champion, Keshava Kashmiri, that just as he was greatly proud of being a favorite devotee of Mother Saraswati, so someone else, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, being favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could become a shruti dara, and thus memorize anything immediately. Shlokera artha kaila vipra kaya santosha Prabhu kahi kaha shlokera kiva guna dosha. Satisfied by the statement of the Brahman Keshava Kashmir explained the quoted verse. Then the Lord said, now, kindly explain the special qualities of the faults in the verse. Not only did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pick out this one among 100 verses within the temple of the Brahmana, and he signed them like the blowing wind, but he also analyzed its qualities and faults. Not only did he hear the verse, but he immediately made a study of it. Vipra-kai shloke-nani dushera avasa upamalankara-guna kichu-kutrasa. The Brahmana replied, there's not a tinge of fault in that verse, rather it has all the good qualities of similes and alliteration. In the last line of the verse quoted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the letter Bha is repeated many times, as in the words Bhavani, Bhur, Bhavati, and Abhutai. Such repetition is called Anupasa, or alliteration. The words Lakshmi Eva and Vishnu Sharana Kamago are instances of Upama Alankara, with exhibit beauty. Ganges is water and Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune. Since water and a person are not actually similar, the comparison is metaphor. Kena kahi adi na karaha rusha kahatamara he shloke iba ache dosha. The Lord said, my dear sir, I may say something to you if you will not become angry. What you find is so clever. Can you explain the faults in this verse? Oh my God, poor God. That poor God is getting the mercy. Pratibara kavyatamara devata santoshe balamate vicharile jani guna doshe. There is no doubt that your poetry is full of ingenuity. Certainly it has satisfied the Supreme Lord. Yet if we scrutinizingly consider it, we can find both good qualities and faults. Evalakari shloka karaha vichara kabhi kahe ye kahile sevede sara. The Lord concluded, now, therefore, let us carefully scrutinize this verse. The poet replied, yes, the verse you recited is perfectly correct. Criticism of the verse. Yakaraniya tumi nagi paralankara tumi ki janibeye kavitera kavitera sara. You are an ordinary student of grammar. What do you know about literary embellishments? You cannot review this poetry because you do not know anything about it. Keshava Kashmiri first wanted to bluff Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by saying that he was not an advanced student of style. He could not review a verse full of metaphors and literary ornaments. This argument has some basis in fact. Unless one is a medical man, he cannot criticize a medical man, and unless one is a lawyer, he cannot criticize a lawyer. Therefore, Keshava Kashmiri first appreciated the Lord's position, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to the champion a student of grammar. How could he dare criticize a great poet like him? Lord Chaitanya, therefore, criticized the poet in a different way. He said, although he was certainly not advanced in a literary career, he had heard from others how to criticize such poetry, and as a Shrutidara possessing a complete memory, he could understand the process for such a review. Prabhu kahena otayeva puchiye tomare vichariya guna dosha uchhamare. Taking a humble position, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because I am not on your level, I have asked you to teach me by explaining the faults and good qualities of poetry. Ipari alankara kariya che shavana tate shloke deti bahudo shaguna. Certainly, I have not studied the art of literary embellishments, but I have heard about it from higher circles, and thus I can review this verse and find in it many faults and many good qualities. The statement, kariya che, achi, sorry, shravana, I have heard it, is very important in the sense that hearing is more important than directly studying or perceiving. If one is expert in hearing and hears from the right source, his knowledge is immediately perfect. This process is called shrota anta, or the acquisition of knowledge by hearing from authorities. All Vedic knowledge is based on the principle that one must approach Bhagavan's spiritual master and hear from him authoritative statements of the Vedas. It is not necessary for one to be a highly polished literary man to receive knowledge. To receive a perfect person, one must be an expert in hearing. This is called the descending process of deductive knowledge, or avaroha, the Punti, and we get this cushion out of the way. Oh, that's better. Kavi kahe kaha deki kon na dosha prabhu kahe na kahi shuna na kari harosha. The poet said, all right, let me see what good qualities and faults you have found. The Lord replied, let me speak and please hear me without becoming angry. Pancha dosha e shloke pancha lankara krameyami kahi shuna. My dear sir, in this verse there are five faults and five literary ornaments. I shall state them one after another. Kindly hear me and then give your judgment. In the verse beginning with Mahatvam Gangaya, there are five literary ornaments and five examples of faulty composition. There are two examples of the fault called Vimrishta, Videyangsa, and one example each of the faults. Viruda, Mati, Udar, Upti, and Bogla. Vimrishta means clean, and Videyangsha means predicate. It is a general rule of composition to establish a subject first and then give its predicate. For example, according to Sanskrit grammar, if one says, this man is learned, his composition is in order. But if one says, learned is this man, the composition is not in order. Such a flaw is called Avimrishta, Videyangsa dosha, or the fault of unclean composition. The subject matter to be known of the verse is the glorification of the Ganges, and therefore the word idam, this, or what is known, should have been placed before instead of after the glorification. That's right. The subject matter already known should be placed before the unknown so that its meaning will not be misconstrued. The second instance of Abhimarishta Videyangsha dosha occurs in the words Dvitiya Shri Lakshmir Iva. In this composition, the word Dvitiya, second, or Videya, is unknown. Placed in the unknown first to make the compound word Dvitiya Shri Lakshmir, that means the second Lakshmi, is another fault. The words Dvitiya Shri Lakshmir Iva were intended to compare the Ganges to the goddess of fortune, but because of this fault, the meaning of the compound world is bewildering. The third fault is that of Viruddha Mati, or a contradictory conception. In the words Bhavani Vartu, the word Bhavani refers to the wife of Baba Lord Shiva, but since Bhavani is already known as the wife of Lord Shiva, to add the word Varta, husband, thus forming a compound meaning the husband of the wife, contradictory, for thus it appears that is the wife of Lord Shiva and another husband. The fourth fault is punar upti, or redundancy, which occurs when the verb vibhavati flourishes, which should have ended the compositions further qualified by the unnecessary adjective adbhuta guna, God with wonderful qualities. The fifth fault is vagnakrama, which we order. In the first, third, and fourth lines, there is anuprasha, or alliteration, created by the sounds ta, ra, ba. But in the second line, there's no such anuprasha, and therefore, is Abhimrishta videyamsa vitani china yuda mati bhognakrama unar ata doshatina. In this verse, the fault of Abhimrishta Videyangsha occurs twice, and the faults of Punavati, Vagna Krama, and Punar Atta occur once each. Kantara Mahatva Shloke Mula Videya Idam Shabde Anupada Pache Abideha. Glorification of the Ganges, Mahatvam Kankayaha, is the principal unknown subject matter in this verse, and the known subject matter is indicated by the word idam, which is replaced after the unknown. So in other words, this is basically what Srila Prabhupada just said in the purport, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining at this particular point. Videya ge kahi bache kahi le anuvada elagi shlokera artha Kariyachevada. Because you have placed the known subject at the end, and that which is unknown at the beginning, the composition is faulty, and the meaning of the words has become doubtful. Anuvadam anu anupvaiva navideyam mudirayet nayala abdas padam kinchit akutraschit pratitishtate. Without first mentioning what is known, one should not introduce the unknown, for that which has no solid basis can never be established anywhere. This is a verse from the Kadashi Tattva. Dvitiya Sri Lakshmi Ihandviti Atva Videha Tamase Gona Hoyla Shabdhar Dagela Kseha. In the word Dvitiya Sri Lakshmi, a second all opulent goddess of fortune, quality of being a second Lakshmi is the unknown. In making this compound word, the meaning becomes secondary and the original intended meaning is lost. Dvitiya Shabda Videyataha Tata Taha Padila Samase Lakshmira Samata Artha Kadila Vinashe. Because the word Dvitiya, second, is the unknown, and the combination of this compound word, the intended meaning of equality with Lakshmi, is lost. Avimrishta videyangsha edoshera nama araeka dosha ache shuna savadana. Not only is there the fault, avimrishta videyangsha, there is also another fault which I shall point out to you. Kindly hear me with great attention. Vavani vatri shabda jila paya santosha virunamati krit nama e mahadosha. Here's another great fault. You have arranged the word Bhavani Vartri to your great satisfaction, but this betrays the fault of contradiction. Bhavani Shabde Kahe Mahadevera Grihindi Tanravarta Atanravarta Kahila Dvitiya Varta Jani. The word Bhavani means the wife of Lord Shiva. But when we mention her husband, one might conclude that she has another husband. Shiva Patni Ravarta Iha Shunet Viruda Viruda Mati Krit Shabda Shastre Nahi Shuda. It is contradictory to hear that Lord Shiva's wife has another husband. The use of such words in literature creates the fault called Viruda Mati Krit. Brahmana Patnira Bhartara Haste Deha Dana Shabda Shuni Shunite Kaya Dvitiya Bharta Jnana. If someone says, place this charity in the hand of the husband of the wife of the Brahmana, then we hear these contradictory words. We immediately understand that the Brahmana's wife has another husband. Vivavati kriyaya vakya sanga puna visheshana adbhuta guna ye punar ata dushana. The statement by the word vibhavati flourishes is complete. Qualifying it with the adjective adbhuta guna, wonderful qualities, creates the fault of anuprasa eki anuprama eka pade nahi e doshavagna krama. There is extraordinary alliteration in three lines of the verse, but in one line there's no such alliteration. This is the fault of deviation. Yadyapi e shloke ache pancha alankara e pancha doshe shloka kaila charakara. Although there are five literary ornaments decorating this verse, the entire verse has been spoiled by these five most faulty presentations. अलंकारे यदि एक श्लोकार एक दोषे सब अलंकार क्षया. If there are 10 literary ornaments in a verse, but even one faulty expression, the entire verse is nullified. Sundara sarire yace bhushana bhushita ekasvet kushte yace kareye vikita. One's beautiful body may be decorated with jewels, but one spot of white leprosy makes the entire body Great sage Bharata Muni, authority on poetic metaphor, has given his opinion as follows. Asalankaravatkavyam Dosharyuchedivibhushitam Sapabhusundadam Bhappi Shritrenaikenadurvagam. As one's body, although well decorated with ornaments, is made fortunate, unfortunate by even one spot of white leprosy, so an entire poem is made useless by a fault despite alliteration, similes, and metaphors. Pancha alankarera ebi shunaha vichara dvi shabdalankaratina artha. Now here the description of the five literary embellishments. There are two ornaments of sound and three ornaments of meaning. Shabdalankaratina padayachya anuprasa Sri Lakshmi Shabde Puna Uttak Vad Abhasa. There is a sound ornament of alliteration in three lines, and in the combination of the words Sri and Lakshmi, there is the ornament tinge of redundancy. Pratama charane panchata karena panti tritiya charane haya pancha repasti. In the arrangement of the first line of the letter, first line, the letter ta occurs five times, and the arrangement of the third line repeats the letter ra five times. Chaturtha charane chari bakara prakasha ataiva shabdalankara anuprasa. In the fourth line, the letter ba occurs four times. This arrangement of alliteration is a pleasing ornamental use of sounds. Shri Shabde Lakshmi Shabde Ekavastu Uta Punaruta Prayavase Nahi Punaruta. Although the words Shri and Lakshmi convey the same meaning and are therefore almost redundant, they are nevertheless not redundant. Shri Yuta Lakshmi Arte Arte Raviveda Punar Uttavadavasa Shabdalankaraveda. Describing Lakshmi as possessed of Shri opulence offers a difference in meaning with a tinge of repetition. This is the second ornamental use of words. Lakshmiriva Artalankara Upama Prakasha Ara Artalankara Ache Nama Virodha. The use of the words Lakshmir Iva, like Lakshmi, manifests the ornament of meaning called Upama, analogy. There's also the further ornament of meaning called Virodhabhasa, or contradictory indication. Gangate Kamala Janme Sabara Subodha Kamale Gangara Janma Atyanta Virodha. Everyone knows that lotus flowers grow in the water of the Ganges, but to say the Ganges takes birth from a lotus flower seems extremely contradictory. Ihan Vishnu Pada Padme Gangaro Ti Virodhalankara Iha Maha Chamatkriti. The existence of Mother Ganges begins from the lotus feet of the Lord. Although in this statement that water comes from the lotus flower is a contradiction, in connection with Lord Vishnu, it is a great wonder. Ishvara chincha shakche gangara prakasha ihati viroda nahi viroda abhasa. In this birth of the Ganges by the inconceivable potency of the Lord, there's no contradiction, although it appears contradictory. The central point of all Vaishnava philosophy is to accept the inconceivable potency of Lord Vishnu, What sometimes appears contradictory from a material point is understandable in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he can perform contradictory activities by dint of his inconceivable potencies. Modern scientists are puzzled. They cannot even explain how such a large quantity of chemicals is formed in the atmosphere. Scientists explain that water is a combination of hydrogen and oxygen, but when asked how such a large quantity of hydrogen and oxygen came from, and how they combine to the great oceans and seas, they cannot answer. They will not accept that everything comes from life. Their thesis, is that life comes from matter. Where do all these chemicals come from? The answer is that they are produced by the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Living entities are part of the Supreme Godhead. And from their bodies come many chemicals. For example, the lemon tree is a living entity that produces many lemons, and within each lemon is a great deal of acidic acid. Therefore, if even an insignificant living entity was but a part of the Supreme Lord could produce so much of a chemical, how much potency there must be in the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Scientists cannot perfectly explain where the chemicals of the world are manufactured, but one can explain this perfectly by accepting the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Lord. There is no reason for denying this argument, since there are potencies in the living entities or samples of the Personality of Godhead. How much potency there must be in the Supreme God described in the Vedas, Nicho Nichanam Chaitanya's Chaitanya. He is the chief eternal of all eternals and the chief living entity among all living entities. Unfortunately, atheistic science will not accept that matter comes from life. Scientists insist upon their most illogical and foolish theory that life comes from matter, although this is quite impossible. They cannot prove in their laboratories that matter can life, yet there are thousands and thousands of examples illustrating that matter comes from life. Therefore, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says that as soon as one accepts the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no great philosopher or scientist contradict the Lord's powers expressed in the verse. So I just want to comment on one thing about matter producing life. Of course, the scientists have come up with many different theories about how the first life was produced. Now, we're not going to talk about evolution right now. But even how the first life or amino acid was produced. Acid is not a protein. Life consists of proteins. Proteins are combinations of amino acids. You may have 20 or 21 amino acids, and they're combined in a certain sequence in a certain way to make a particular protein. Proteins are actually genes. Proteins actually messages. They are the structural proteins. Anyway, life is composed of proteins. Proteins are composed of amino acids arranged in specific sequences. Sequences sometimes have thousands of amino acids to make protein. So the scientists say that life came about simply by chance. Okay, let's accept that theoretically. So if life came about simply by chance, take those same elements and not by chance, just deliberately try to make it together. And they haven't been able to do it. Oh, sure, they can make it. Sure, they can make a protein. That's not life. Life consists of many, many proteins formed or put together in a particular sequence, which, according to information theory, which is basically understanding probability, that it is impossible that even functional protein came about by chance within the space and the time of the whole universe. I say possible on once in 100 years. Okay, anyway, I guess I got to speak closer to the computer. So maybe once, you know, 1/10 to the 190th power, the possibility of it happening within the whole time span of the whole universe, which means basically impossible. That's just one protein by itself ain't going to do nothing. And that's accepting the amino acid would form. You know, certainly we have seen amino acids form by chance, but not in a particular sequence so that they form a functional protein. Anyway, so that's what Prabhupada is dealing with there. So we went to text 81 today, in the 16th chapter. 16. Okay. So let's take some questions. I got to get going in a second to this preaching program. So, wow. One side of my face is shaded, the other side is Krishna conscious. Okay, so let's allow you to unmute yourselves. Hold on a second. All right, so you can ask questions now. Who wants to ask a question? That's better.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Let's say Prabhupada's.
Rishikesh.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev.
Okay, the birthday boy from yesterday. So what's Gurudev, the question?
My question is, can you give me some tips about how to improve the quality of hearing? I know hearing is very important, but sometimes this mind is, you know, keeps on, I'm actually struggling in that, so just want to keep it, bring it back. But do you have any suggestion of how I can improve the quality of hearing?
Yeah, you have to have a motivation. For focusing on anything, there has to be a motivation. So you have to figure out, we've talked about this before, what is your sankalpa? What is your intention? What is your motivation for, let me just remove the spotlight so I can see you also. And so what is the motivation for chanting? You know, why are you chanting? Ask yourself, why am I doing what am I doing when I'm doing? And based upon what your motivation is, if it doesn't make you enthusiastic, you better come up with another motivation. Just like we have examples of Dhruva Maharaj, who was extremely motivated and focused in his chanting. And what was his motivation? He wanted a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. So I'm not saying you should want that. But you have to figure out what is important for you in terms of Krishna consciousness. What do you want? Do you want to connect to Krishna? Do you want your family to be Krishna conscious? I'm not saying you don't, but I said, what is most important? What is the most important thing to you in relationship to Krishna? That's the question you got to ask. I'm not asking you to give me the answer right now. I'm just saying that everybody should be thinking like that. What is the most important thing to me? I mean, let's take me, for example. Don't take me. But anyway, let's take me, for example. What I do before I chant, I think the most important thing for me is to please Prabhupada. And so this really helps me focus on my japa. Or I may be thinking about some poor devotee who is suffering at the present time. So at that particular juncture, I'll be praying for them. I'll be praying. My dear Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Please save Das, you know, whatever, or Dasi, or Prabhu, or whatever. So I'll be praying for them. Or my dear Krishna, please give me some compassion and help me deal with the anger that's that's burning my heart. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So you got to figure out what's important to you.
Yes,
yeah, so because if you're just chanting to chant, to be attentive, there's no motivation there. You know, everything's based on motivation. So you gotta figure out what motivates you. Let's say if you want a new car, you chant, "Oh Krishna, give me a new car. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Or if you want your wife to be submissive, Please let my wife listen to me. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Oh, please, Krishna, please, you can do the impossible. Anyway, that's a joke. And obviously you shouldn't be chanting for that particular purpose. But, you know, we all have something that's important to us. Krishna conscious thing that's important to us. So we got to figure out what that is and pray to Krishna for it. Akama sarvakama moksha kama darati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So you should connect it to Krishna. I'm not saying you should pray for something mundane, money or something like that. But what's important? What's important? You got to figure that out, okay?
Thank you, Gurudev. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Okay. So who else has a question? Nobody else has a question.
I have a question for you there.
Okay.
I was wondering, you know the pastime of Krishna and Radharani where she has to carry like the water pot with like 1,000 holes in it?
Yes, yes.
What's the name of that pastime?
I don't remember the name of the pastime.
Do you
But I know the pastime, yes. Everyone was doubting Radharani's chastity. So Krishna made a deal that whoever could cross the Jamuna on one of his hairs, you know, some, and not fall into the water carrying a pot with 1,000 holes in it. I'm on the line right now. I'm online. I'm giving class, please. Goodbye. So, let me say, I just got disturbed. So anyone who could, any lady who could cross the river on a bridge made of Krishna's hair or something like that, and carrying a water pot with 1,000 holes in it without losing any water, would be considered the most chaste lady in Vrindavan. I don't know the name of the story, but Kutila tried it and she fell into the water. And so Radharani did it. And Krishna actually manifested himself and plugged up 1,000 holes with his fingers. All right?
Yeah, thank you.
That's a story. Okay, they're calling me to go on this preaching engagement. So we'll see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. Actually, when you think of the most important thing to chant about, does it also take faith that Krishna will fulfill that desire? Yes. But, you know, who else are you going to pray to? Donald Trump? I mean, you got anybody better to pray to? You know, I mean, or your spirit. You can pray to your spiritual master. But, you know, I don't think you have much of a choice when you're going to pray to people, right? I mean, I don't have much of a choice. I'm not going to pray to my mother. I'm not going to pray. Who else?
I'm not going to pray. I have a question.
I'm not going to pray to the cat.
A question. Are you going to get me? Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but really, I have to run on a preaching engagement right now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Meg, I have to make it really quick. I can hear you.
Real quick. Just quick question. I'm listening on Maha Mantra songs, almost like COVID vaccine, and everybody runs for COVID vaccine. Why don't everybody chant and have the problem solved? You know, it's like everybody crave the vaccine. Please cure me, heal me. I need that vaccine. But Maha Mantra songs like the remedy for it all. And why should people should be running with mantra and chanting, you know what I mean, like crazy. Why is not? Why isn't it happening?
Why is it happening? People take shelter of other mantras or other processes because they're an illusion. They're in Maya, the illusion. You know, why do people think that there's water where there's no water? That's called a mirage. So, yeah, good question. Okay, so we have to end. We'll see everybody tomorrow evening or tomorrow, whatever time it is for you at this particular time. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.